Welcome to the Wellness Renaissance Podcast, exploring topics to help you find the pieces that fit into your health puzzle.
Now, if you're out buying pottery from just anyone in a store, sometimes you can find lovely pieces even in thrift stores. A good idea is to set a slice of lemon in that dish or on that dish and leave it for, several hours.
Okay.
When you come back and you lift up that piece of lemon, if the glaze has not faded whatsoever, then that glaze is good, has a good resistance to acids. Now, if you wash your piece of pottery, your dish, or your mug in the dishwasher, and after several washings, the glaze does not fade, then that's resistant to alkalines. And so those are the two important things that affect if a glaze is getting into your food or not. What I want to say, and I celebrate, and I want to tell everybody about it because it's wonderful, is the red clay in our area. Even though it's a low fire clay, it's very, very usable. Children can pick it out of the ground and make pinch pots or little animals. And if they would bring it to me, I would be very happy to fire whatever they have made.
Welcome. This is Judy with Wellness Renaissance and the Wellness Renaissance Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. That was Kitty with Dragon Fire Ceramics, the two little quotes that you just heard. One, she's talking about the food safety of our clay dishes that we may be purchasing to eat or drink from. And the other one I thought was just a really cool mention that she made about the clay that we have here and speaks to the children's programming that she does each week. So if you listened to last week's episode, I mentioned that we would have people from the Spirit and Wellness Connection that happened a week ago or so. And that was the plan, and we're still carrying that out in a certain way. We had amazing interviews that you're going to hear from the panel. Unfortunately, my tech person who does some of the front end pieces that I am not as knowing how to do before I get into the editing has been sick with a pretty intensive bronchitis situation. And so we're doing one that is a little bit less tech heavy and bringing that forth to you. So Kitty from Dragon Fire Ceramics was actually going to be on the panel, and due to some schedule flip-flops and her being busy at her table, we ended up doing an interview afterwards. And it was a great discussion. I had a really great time learning about what she does. Again, she was at the Spirit Wellness Connection, and part of that, you know, it's a health and wellness and holistic kind of health thing. And clay is one of those things that, you know, she'll talk about the recyclable aspect of it and the sustainability aspect of it in the work that she does. And then also there's a whole movement talking about using clay and why that's better for the planet, as well as using less plastic. So all that stuff, not to mention what Kitty brings to the table, besides beautiful work, is some great opportunities to connect and socialize and get out of our phones and Facebook feed and and use our hands, be that sculpture or pottery wheel. And she's going to talk about all the things that she offers. She has children's programming, she does birthday parties and work events and all these great things that are just exciting. And I'm looking to plan my own event. I've always wanted to experience a potter wheel and never had the chance. So our conversation got me super excited to go out and explore and experience for myself. On a housekeeping level, keep an eye on the podcast for some more Spirit and Wellness Connection people and panels popping up to listen to. Everybody did such a fantastic job on the panel. Just great information and explanation of the work that they do and beyond. So look forward to that. And the podcast party, you are all invited. If this is hitting your ears, June 27th, 2019, it's a Thursday night. It's happening here in Duluth, Minnesota at the Zeitgeist Atrium. So please check on the website, wellnessrenpodcast.com. You can also find the event on the Facebook page. If you have any questions at all, please, please, please do not hesitate to connect with me through Facebook or email and ask those questions. Please go also and get your tickets so that we have a better idea of who's coming, mostly for count of food. And we're putting together a wellness renaissance directory of sorts. So we'd want to make sure that we have enough for everybody and beyond. So please let me know by purchasing your ticket or checking in that you're coming or plan to come. Tickets are $20. They're $25 at the door. We're going to have a great time. It's a great opportunity to meet some of the people that have been on the podcast, do some, you know, connecting and networking, get to know folks a little bit. We're going to do a live podcast as well. And it's going to be a great time. We've got some cool prizes for some drawings that we're doing. And your ticket will get you in there. Also, if you join as a Patreon member, things like that will also get you in the drawing as well. So thank you, of course, for supporting the podcast. And, you know, one of the things that I ask, if you, first of all, of course, sharing the podcast, the messages on Facebook, sending the email, just sharing the podcast with somebody who you think might be interested is so amazingly helpful. If you are on Facebook, please, one of the great things you can do is to comment on the podcast or put the like or one of the other emoticons. That helps the lovely people who create the algorithms at Facebook know that people are interested, and it helps pass it on even farther than you do. So please consider throwing a quick comment on there. All of those things really, really do help. And it also lets me know that you like the work that I'm doing and that we're creating here. So your feedback, of course, is always welcome as well. Thank you again for those of you who are on Patreon and part of the Patreon community. And if you're an Amazon shopper, go to the website, wellnessrenpodcast.com, and click on the support the podcast. If you are heading into an Amazon shopping trip, you don't have to buy necessarily any of the things that you see on the page, but everything that you purchase in your trip, no cost to you, does go to support the podcast. And we really do appreciate that. So thank you. Every little bit really does help. Thank you so much. I think that covers it. I think you're going to really enjoy this conversation. It was really fantastic. And Kitty had some great information to share. And I'm excited what she's doing out there. She's in Renshaw, Minnesota, which is not far from Duluth, Minnesota. So if you are listening to this and you're taking a trek up to Duluth on a vacation, please consider visiting her space, taking a class, having a party, getting in touch with her and doing a date night. All good stuff. All right, let's head into our interview. I want to welcome Kitty Sableman. You are with Dragonfire Ceramics.
Correct.
Yes, and I'm excited to have you here. You were going to be at the Spirit Wellness Connection. Things got a little crazy there, and so you didn't end up at our panel, which is probably a good thing, because then you were just very busy at your table working with people, which is great. The first time I met you was last year at the Spirit and Wellness Connection. You have some beautiful, beautiful pottery. I bought my favorite mug from you last year. And it's my all-day mug. So if I'm working at home, that's my favorite mug to use, because it's big and I love having it like all day. So
yay. I'm so glad to hear that.
I love it. I love it. Somebody almost bought it out from under me last year too. So I'm glad I just went, nope, that's mine.
Yeah, they go fast.
They're beautiful sizes. They're really nice sizes, and they're great shapes, and they feel and look, you know, sturdy, and so they're fantastic. And you have many other things than cups and mugs. I was just very into that.
Right.
Let's start out by sharing where you're at here in Minnesota, and you're going to be eventually selling your— you do ship, and you're going to be selling it online. So it's an opportunity for anybody anywhere to purchase.
Yes. This year sometime I will get my artist brain into how to work things on the computer and sell my items on the computer.
Wonderful. But for now, you still ship. So if somebody saw something, you would still be able to ship that to them at this point, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So you're located in Renshaw, right?
Right.
And not only do you do shows, but, and this is what I think is super cool, you have classes and events and classes and kids' classes and birthday parties, and I can imagine like a work party or something could come out. So talk about that, because I just think that's awesome.
Well, yes, thank you. So during the week, I typically teach classes, and they're ongoing classes. They are 6 weeks. People can come and learn how to throw the many different vessels one would expect from a potter's class. So mugs, bowls, lidded canisters, vases, things like that. And then on the weekends, Fridays and Saturday evenings, I will do date nights where a couple or several friends, I've even had a party of 20 that came and everybody had a chance to make a mug. It was very crowded, but when people are willing to take turns on the wheel, they have a lot of fun. And during those times, people are able to bring beer, wine, snacks. Like you said, if it's a birthday party for children, then birthday cake, whatever. And so people can really just come and enjoy themselves. And it's a very relaxed atmosphere where typically I will do a demonstration in the beginning to kind of give people who've never had a chance to throw kind of an idea of what we will be doing. And then I say, once that demonstration is done, then everybody will walk through the process of making the piece together. And then if anybody has any trouble, then I'm very happy to get up and help straighten out a wiggly pot or repair damages. Sometimes I'm not able to, but you know, we have an unlimited amount of clay in the studio. So and what's really nice is that all of the clay is recyclable. So if somebody's piece or my piece fails, then I have a way of just reprocessing the clay so that it can be used again. So none of the clay goes to waste. That's a very relieving kind of aspect of working with clay, is that no matter how many times you mess it up, you can also always make it back into a beautiful piece of pottery.
Is that before you put it in the kiln, or do you have
Yes.
something? Okay.
Yes, before it goes in the kiln, then it can be reprocessed.
And you have multiple wheels too, right? So.
I do. I have 7 wheels in my studio, so I can have up to 6 people on the wheels at a time, and then I have my teaching wheels.
I love that. I love that. That's creative. I mean, it's just creative to be able to get out and do something a little different, you know? It's just fantastic. I love it.
And people are not don't just have to use the wheel. I also have a slab roller, which allows me to roll out very thin slabs of clay, and we can do sculptural things with it. We can work with our hands, more sculptural, creating masks or square dishes or wall hangings, tiles, a lot. I've even had people come through and make enough tiles to create a backsplash in their bathroom or in their kitchen.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. One fun thing that's happening these days with spring trying to appear is, as it snowed today,
I know.
but
19th of May and it's snowing in Minnesota. It's painful.
it's terrible. But we have rhubarb leaves that are coming out, and those make great impressions in the slabs, and people make dishes out of them or fountains. It's a lot of fun to work with the outdoor, bringing the outdoors in and creating a cast of it in the clay.
That is cool. Yeah, that would
Yeah.
be fun.
Yeah.
Make it very,
Yeah.
very personal to your own creativity into the
Exactly.
area. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, one question I wanted to ask you. So when it comes to I know I'd read on your website that there's kind of a little bit of a history in this area with the clay. So talk about that, because that's something I don't know a whole lot about. I know I remember, you know, learning about the fire that happened, but talk about the clay and all of the bits and pieces around that.
So back in the earlier part of the 20th century, it was found out that this area had a type of clay that was able to be fired at a very hot, hot temperature. It was able to go to about 3,000 degrees in the kiln, which made it a very good type of clay to be used for bricks in fireplaces, and it was able to actually be used to make kilns. So they used to have a lot of, well, a brick-making factory here, actually. The clay typically came from the Nemadji River. There were also pockets of it in the area, and it's a lighter colored clay. So oftentimes in our area, you will see very light-colored, tan, yellow to pinkish bricks in the area. Okay. Those are a very high fire brick that during the 1918 fire that ravaged this area, any building that was made from that brick was able to withstand the fire.
Wow.
Everything else, including the like the red brick, it just melted into a glaze. That's a low fire clay. And so houses that were, or buildings that were built of any other material, metal, wood, anything, they just melted into a puddle, and the high fire brick was able to withstand the fire. So that's very interesting. Many people come through here looking for that clay, newer potters, and there are some small pockets of it, but it's difficult to find, and all the clay that was in the Nemadji River was probably used up. Now, what I want to say, and I celebrate, and I want to tell everybody about it because it's wonderful, is the red clay in our area, even though it's a low fire clay, it's very, very usable. Children can pick it out of the ground and make pinch pots or little animals, and if they would bring it to me, I would be very happy to fire whatever they have made. It's a fantastic medium to work with, and it needs very, very little processing. If you're going to make large pots out of it, it's important to powderize the clay first. We have a little bit of sulfur in our clay, and they're in the form of little pebbles. And the pebbles are big enough to actually breach the wall of a pot. And so eventually that pebble would just pop out and cause your coffee to run out into your lap. Not a good thing for clay. But if you powderize it, then that sulfur is easily worked into the clay and doesn't hurt the clay at all.
So how do you powderize clay? Is that something that somebody needs to do that? Like somebody specialized needs to do that? Or
No. Anybody can do it. If you're somebody at home, you just want a little bit to work with, just put it in a tough plastic bag, pound it up with a hammer or a rock, and try to sieve out any stones that are in it. Trying to go below the topsoil. We have such a small amount of topsoil where I am. I only have an inch of topsoil, and then the rest is clay. But it's important to get rid of all that organic matter, grass roots, and things like that. Just get as pure clay as you can find. And when I do it, I have a dedicated concrete mixer that's never had concrete in it. And so I throw in heavy things like nuts and bolts in there, and it beats up the clay, the dry clay, into a powder. And then I sieve it into a bucket, add water, and I usually add water that's had that's been used in the studio already, because it has the good bacteria that is going to be necessary to make that clay very plastic, very easy to manipulate, and it won't crack badly.
Really? So bacteria is helpful.
It's very helpful. Without the bacteria, clay would not have much structure. Clay is a living, growing thing. It's kind of like fermenting bread dough or something. The more good bacteria you have in bread dough, the more plastic it's going to be. And it's the same with clay.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I did not.
The big
that.
Difference between clay and bread dough is, in bread dough, you want the air bubbles, and in clay, you do not want air bubbles.
Right. So if you're not good at making bread, you might be awesome at making clay.
Exactly. That's right.
Oh, neat. Okay. I learn something new every day. Yeah. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
So talk to me a little bit about how did you get into ceramics, and if you have a story behind the name of your studio too, that would be great too, because I love the name.
Well, thank you. So when I was growing up in Texas as a young person, I found clay down there, and it's very similar red clay down there, and just started playing with it as a child, making animals and pinch pots and things like that. Then when I came up here, I was a student of nursing at Lake Superior College and found out that they had a clay studio, and oh, I was so excited. I had taken pottery class, or that is ceramics at UMD many years ago, and then had done other things with my career, and then came up here, or that is when I was going to nursing school, was able to take pottery at Lake Superior College. I'm being redundant, I'm sorry. So between semesters of nursing, I was able to go to a workshop in Herbster, Wisconsin, under the person whose name is Mike Weber. He held a workshop at his place in Herbster, Wisconsin. So anyway, it was a two-week workshop. He had a huge, huge wood fire kiln. And the 14 participants in that workshop created 1,000 pieces of pottery. And we put them all into this kiln and we fired it for 3 days. When you fire it and it's a wood fire, you have to just constantly put wood in there. You start off very slow, just a small fire. And then at the end, you're just throwing wood in so fast it just vaporizes as soon as it hits the flame. It's so hot.
Wow.
And this the chimney on the kiln was approximately 20 feet in the air, and then there were flames coming out of that reached about 20 more feet above that. So with this very long kiln and the tall chimney, it looked just like a dragon that was just flaming into the night. So that is how I determine the name of my company is Dragonfire Ceramics.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Let's talk glazes. I want to hear what you use. And I'm also thinking the whole idea of food. We're putting food onto or into some of these things that we make, and I'm curious to know, when we're buying something, are all glazes like food safe, or is that something we should just be? I mean, obviously, if somebody's making a mug, you kind of assume that it's safe, but is that something we should be asking just to make sure?
So those are really good questions, and my goal at my studio is to have food safe glazes. I work with a book that has formulas for glazes called Mastering Cone 6 Glazes. I use an electric kiln, so I have to make sure that I'm working within the restrictions of Cone 6 electric glazes. Now, if you're out buying pottery from just anyone in a store, sometimes you can find lovely pieces, even in thrift stores. A good idea is to set a slice of lemon in that dish or on that dish and leave it for, I believe, several hours.
Okay.
When you come back and you lift up that piece of lemon, If the glaze has not faded whatsoever, then that glaze is good, has a good resistance to acids. Now, if you wash your piece of pottery, your dish, or your mug in the dishwasher, and after several washings, the glaze does not fade, then that's resistant to alkalines. And so those are the two important things that affect if a glaze is getting into your food or not. So if it's resistant to acids and it's resistant to alkalines, then you probably have a very safe piece of pottery. Another thing that it is suggested that one looks for is cracking in a glaze. If you have a glaze and it has little fine lines in it, then it's a possibility that food can get into those fine cracks. And in an oxygenless atmosphere, botulism can grow.
Ooh.
Yeah. And so you want to be very careful about not eating from pottery that has a lot of crackles in it. In Japan, other countries, their gut bacteria might be different than ours here in the United States. They might have a built-up resistance to some of these other kinds of bacterias, but here in the United States, we could easily get very sick. Okay, so those are some very important things. One thing about glazes is that, especially on a stoneware piece of pottery, the glazes have been cooked or fired to, between 2200 degrees and 3000 degrees.
Okay.
So anything you put in your oven or your microwave or in the hot dishwasher, it's not going to allow these heavy metals that are used for the colorants to be vaporized. The one metal that we do worry about in this day and age and previously is lead. Lead is a very soft metal and can easily be vaporized and then ingested. So you want to make sure that you're having lead-free glazes. One only has to really worry about that, I believe, on lower-fired pottery. If the bottom says that it's a lead-free glaze, then you're very safe.
Okay.
Yeah. In my studio, I do use copper. I use cobalt and iron oxide and rutile are some of my colorants. They're heavy metals. They come to me, to my studio, in a powder form. Once they get mixed with water, then they're not being released as a powder into the atmosphere. I like to mix my glazes in the garage or outside so that I'm not allowing that dust to be airborne in my studio. So there are some precautions that a potter needs to take to keep a studio safe.
Right.
Of these things, yeah. That's probably more information than anybody ever wanted to know.
But you know, but it, I don't know. I think it's very interesting, and I think honestly, I think with people having sensitivities to things,
yes.
We hear of heavy metal toxicity so often that
right.
you understand what is and isn't happening to us, or when yes. things are safe, or what questions to ask, or just things to think about.
Yes.
I think
that's
it's a
very true.
Great thing. Yeah.
Right. And it's in the teacher that I had at Lake Superior College was very careful about teaching these things. I try very hard to teach these lessons in my studio. I do teach a segment on making glazes so that people understand that the glazes are a really important aspect of creating your pottery.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, certainly looking at, you know, I'm thinking of just looking at various people's designs and the colors mm-hmm. and things like that.
Yes.
And I imagine it's a personal choice of the colors you like, but from what you're saying, it sounds like that probably has maybe to do with the color as well. Does it make a difference in what things you choose as to the colors of the glaze, or is the color completely just your choice?
So in mixing different glazes together, oftentimes you have different colors that are created. And so there's just so many different aspects of glazing, and it does take a lot of time and energy to learn how to mix glazes, how to combine them so that they'll come up with interesting patterns or different colors. I don't know exactly how to answer your question.
Oh, no, I think you kind of are, that it is kind of the art form of knowing
yes.
how the things mix together and what to use and what
right.
goes into the glazes. And
yeah.
and so that, am I correct from my little experience doing pottery, that you don't quite know what you're going to get exactly until it comes out?
That's very true. And so a lot of trial and error happens. We're taught in school to make test tiles so that we test our glazes several times and then test combinations of glazes several times to make sure we're getting a consistent result, kind of journaling or keeping some notes about the results and what combinations we used.
Okay. That makes yeah. sense. That's very cool.
A potter has to be not only an artist that creates things with their hands, but they also have to be a chemist and
right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, it's just interesting when I, again, it's been a long time since I've done any pottery, like since school, I think, going to see different people who do pottery and looking at kind of the colors that tends to be kind of a theme in their work.
Yes. 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 And so, yep, choosing your theme of colors but also a potter has to work within the restrictions of the material they're working with. And so a person can get very different results with glazes when they're working with different kinds of kilns as well. So not only do you have different chemicals, different clays, but you also have different kiln atmospheres. So whether you're using oxygen in an atmosphere or reducing all the oxygen out of there, then you're creating different chemical reactions in a kiln as well.
It is an art and a science, as you said.
Yes, it is. So I want to talk just a minute about children's programming that I do.
Yes, please.
Okay, so I do advertise on my website that I do children's birthday parties, and that's a lot of fun. But also every Saturday morning, I reserve my studio for children and their parents. And so a child and parent can come, and if they would like to work on the wheel, or maybe we're doing a sculpture program that day, it's a two-hour session. I charge $10 an hour per child, not
okay.
the adults, just the children. I try to make it as accessible to families as possible. And each lesson does not build on itself, so that because children have so little control over their lives and their families' lives, that so maybe they can come one time and then they have to skip another week, and they won't miss out on anything except that lesson. It won't build on knowledge.
Okay.
So it's just project by project.
Okay.
And so that allows children to not feel left out or missing anything. And also, if you can only come once, that's fine. Or maybe you can come 6 weeks, that's good too.
Mm-hmm.
So the important thing is to call me ahead of time. And if you go on my website, you can find my phone number, or I can receive text or emails, and just say I would like to bring myself and my child, and then we'll just set it up. And
what time does that happen on Saturday morning, or is it flexible?
Yep, from 10 in the morning till noon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And let's see, then I also want to just tell you I charge a $5 fee that helps with the cost of the clay and the glaze and the firings.
Okay.
So for a two-hour time, it would be $25 per child.
And that's, you know, and I'm thinking, I mean, what a neat thing. Obviously, if you live here and you're looking for something different to do with your hands or whatever, but my gosh, if you're traveling to Duluth,
right.
You know, what a great and fun thing to do on the weekend if you're here, or you know, other classes during the week. How neat is that?
It is a lot of fun. I have found that in this day and age, people are doing dates or things with their friends and family. So they, instead of just going to eat or watch a movie, they want to go out and do something, create something. And there are several places in the area, and my studio is one of them. Come and no experience necessary. Come and I'll walk you through the whole process of creating a mug and a bowl and a vase or whatever in a 2-hour period.
What a good time.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you can come back and glaze, or I can glaze it for you and send it off to you.
That is just exciting. I am so glad to know that you do all this. Like, who knew, right?
When I was much younger, I was also in advertising, and boy, the world has really changed. I was in advertising before computers were much of a thing. And now the best way to advertise is on Facebook, social media, things like that. So,
right. It's a different, yeah. It's a totally different world.
Yes. That was a little learning curve thing for me in my business. So.
No kidding.
Yes. Yes.
Wow. Well, thank you. I will put all of your information on in the show notes, but go ahead and give your website.
Okay. So my website is dragonfireceramics.net. Ceramics is pluralized.
Perfect.
And then I can be emailed at dragonfireceramics@yahoo.com.
Well, this is exciting. A trip out of town if you're in Duluth, not too far away. If you're coming to Duluth on vacation, check it out. What a fun thing to bring home as a useful souvenir.
Absolutely.
You know, we're in the time of we're trying to sometimes simplify and not bring home some of the kitschy things and the stuff that you don't end up using. But this is something that you could really make and have a great memory and have it be very useful. And I love stuff like that.
Absolutely. Me too. Thank you so much, Judy, for having me on your show.
Yes. Thank you. Thanks for being willing. This has been fantastic.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Again, you can connect with Kitty at dragonfireceramics.net. That's .net, not .com, so .net. Always worth pointing that one out. She said the best way to reach her is phone, email, text, letting her know that you're planning on coming for a class so that just to make sure that there's space. As she talked about in the interview, she has a pretty good size and amount of space and wheels to work with. But if you want to attend a class or have a party, date night, birthday party, gathering. How cool is that? What a fun thing to do. So I hope you enjoyed the conversation. I love learning about all the things that she's offering and how accessible that she is working to make it. I think that's fantastic. We all need a little more art and hands-on fun stuff in our life. Again, thank you so much for listening. And don't forget to get your ticket to the podcast party. I'm so excited and I'm looking forward to having you all there. This is about celebrating the people and the listeners and the world that we're all trying to create. We're all kind of in this together a little bit. So please join me. I look forward to seeing you so much and meeting new folks. So come on down. Again, wellnessrunpodcast.com is where you can find the tickets to the party, as well as all the other episodes and other topics and great people that we've interviewed. Until next time, take good care. May you continue to find the pieces that fit beautifully into your health and wellness puzzle. Bye-bye for now.